In fact, I was so eager that when I was asked to speak some encouraging words yesterday morning, I was thinking, oh, what a waste of time. Let's just chant. But I tried to do my duty. Usually I find that as I chant more, the japa gets deeper. I had, I guess you could say, a little fall down on around 26, because I was I was like really going deep, and then the mind thought, well, I might be asked to share, so let me see what round this is. And as soon as I thought that, you know, I lost it. And anyway, and I condemn myself. Oh, I was just thinking of what I was going to say. And I thought, well, anyway, but it was meant to encourage the devotees. But whatever it was, wasn't the same after that. But then I did chant some more. And then, yeah, this problem that I've sort of been dealing with came up. And it wasn't going away. You know, I was trying to detach my mind from it and bring it back to the holy names. So then I thought, well, maybe it's not so bad because it's related to Krishna's service. And then suddenly I remembered an exchange between Tamal Krishna Goswami and Srila Prabhupada during the struggle to get the Juhu land. And he told Srila Prabhupada that he was so disturbed by you know, all the complications with the land that he could hardly chant his rounds. He was disturbed even when he would try to chant his rounds. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I know how you feel, because I feel the same way. So that was very encouraging. That was very encouraging. And then I thought of another time when Tamal Krishna Goswami, earlier, before Juhu, but Tamal Krishna Goswami was very frustrated in Calcutta because I guess none of the devotees would help him. He would ask them to do things and they wouldn't do it. So he went into Srila Prabhupada's room and I think out of sheer frustration, he began to cry. Mm-hmm. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, even Arjuna cried. So just thinking of these encouraging exchanges with Srila Prabhupada and the whole idea of unconditional love, like no matter what condition we're in, you know, not only did Prabhupada love us, but he would just encourage us. He would sympathize with us and encourage us to continue. And then just a sort of flood of remembrance of Srila Prabhupada came. And I didn't resist it. Rather, I would say I appreciated it. I mean, we do say that you know, one should just focus on hearing the holy name. But if automatically, you know, Krishna's form, qualities, past times come to mind, you know, that's desired. So Srila Prabhupada is one of Krishna's associates, so I took it as mercy. Then I guess in that mood of encouragement, oh yeah, this was... yeah, then I thought of an instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave me, that if a woman comes, you shouldn't think, oh, this woman has come, let me exploit her. You should think, oh, this woman has come to serve Krishna, let me help her. And I was thinking that was... Sorry? Yeah, it showed Prabhupada's merciful mood, and it also showed the high level he expected of us through the Yukta Vairagya, which is achieved only by bhakti. Otherwise, it's either artificial renunciation or false enjoyment. You have to just be right on. And then I thought of another instruction he gave me. I think these are the only two personal instructions he gave me about dealing with women. And it was sort of similar. I was a brahmachari in Bombay. I was very staunch and austere, and a little older lady, I mean, by our standards, she was older, she's probably in her early 40s now, that's young, but in those days, we hardly had devotees of that age. She was a Punjabi lady from Nairobi, named Shakti Mata. She was a very enthusiastic preacher, and somehow she came to spend some time with Srila Prabhupada in Juhu. And, Prabhupada wanted her to be taken care of, and I was the temple president. So he said, I should take care of her and make sure that she has everything she needs. She has a nice stay. But knowing that, like, real staunch, austere, strict mode that I was in, he said, don't worry, she's old enough to be your mother, nothing will happen. Then I went back to that other instruction that if a woman comes, you shouldn't think, oh, this woman has come, let me exploit her. Rather, you should think, oh, this woman has come to serve Krishna, let me help her. That was part of a longer discussion. And at the end, there were actually two other devotees in the room. And at the end, Srila Prabhupada, and they were, very much more senior than I was. They were like more of the inner circle. But anyway, he mentioned our three names together, and then he said, future hopes of the world. So I think that, there's so many future hopes.
But then I thought, well, it's also a chance for us to fill that purpose. Anyway, that was nice. In a way, that was the highlight, just feeling Prabhupada's love and encouragement. But it was good chanting. That was sitting there. Then I came here closer to Tulsi Devi and Haridas Thakur. And it's sort of good going deeper, hearing. I was sort of sorry that they had the tours, because I really would have wanted to keep chanting. As far as what I might take back with me from this, but it's funny because as far as low points and high points, it's like in a way it was a low point, that like thinking about that problem and not being able to get it out of my mind. But then that gave way to one of the high points, thinking how, you know, what Tamal Krishna Goswami said to Srila Prabhupada and what Prabhupada said in reply. Of course, this I have to work out a bit. The immediate thing I thought is I have to attend more japa retreats.
Good.
And so I'm thinking, I'm going to be in Texas anyway during the two. So, but I wasn't planning, but I'm thinking maybe I'll do one. And then I also thought, because so much of the experience comes from, of course, letting go of everything else and having nothing else to do, but that we should do anyway for those 2 hours or whatever we have every day. But another important part is the association of devotees who've gathered for the same purpose. And I saw it even at Hari Ashva Prabhu's center in Philadelphia, even though they only meet once a week. But that intensity, that unity of purpose, is very powerful. And I think it's just more part of the culture there, because Ravindra Sarup Prabhu himself is so has so much realization about japa, and he does facilitate japa retreats. Even in the Philadelphia temple, I was struck one evening. I walked into the temple room, maybe 7:30, and there the Sunday Aarti is 6:30, so it's just sort of like in between. There were quite a few devotees chanting japa. And it struck me, in contrast to other temple rooms that I've walked in, I haven't usually seen devotees, so many devotees sitting and chanting so seriously. So of course, that involves creating that culture around me. And I think I will do that. I mean, I still sort of have that routine of writing early in the morning, so it's not so regular. But I think that is the thing to do, just create that culture among the devotees around me. Of course, it is very nice just to chant alone with the deities, but I think overall there's more potency when there are other devotees but really in that mood, you know. Because otherwise, if their minds are wandering, and then that permeates the atmosphere in a subtle way, and then it's better just to be alone. But if the devotees are really focused like that, then it enhances the atmosphere. So I think I'll do that, and also the taking rest early. Yesterday I met Apurva Prabhu again, and I told him, you know, I was really in the mood to take rest early. And it's like that when you're in a dham, it sort of happens naturally. He said, did you read the article? I said, well, no, I haven't. He said, oh, you have to read the article. You know, when you read the article, you'll really be convinced. The article is by Mahanidhi Swami, something like, to be happy, healthy, and holy, take rest before 10 p.m. It was on Dandavats. So I read it last night, and it was convincing. I had heard similar things from my Ayurvedic physician about how the body works at different times of the cycle of the day. But I guess seeing all that sort of analytical scientific evidence that he'd compiled through, I know that lady, she visits me every year in Delhi, Kirti Seth. And then to, you know, make that part of the culture, the people around me. Of course, when you preach, sometimes you have to stay up late. It's just the way it is. But otherwise, so yeah, it was a wonderful experience. It's always a bit of the agony and the ecstasy, but. It was a really wonderful experience. Thank you all for being part of it or making it possible. Hare Krishna. I think the spirit is nice. I don't know if I can comment directly because I just don't know. I mean, I've obviously chanted with the idea of helping others or someone or some others. And the way I usually envision it is, you know, the holy name is Krishna. Krishna's in the heart of the other person. And the other person also chants the holy name. So sometimes, and I think it has worked. One time in particular, I was concerned about a devotee who was struggling to chant, struggling with lack of taste. And I was chanting a lot during that period and praying to the holy name to give the other person some taste, give the other person some mercy. And later I found from the other person that something did happen at that time. So I just don't know about like exactly giving the benefit, but I usually see it like that, that we're associating with the holy name, we're deepening our relationship with the holy name. And in our intimate relationship with the holy name or with Krishna, we can pray to Krishna to give mercy to someone else. might have to do a little more investigation into this.
All these sages want to give.
They give their merit to people. And you know, and a number of times they said, "I give you all the results of my ascetic merit." You know, like to Ram, and he said, "I need to earn my own merit." I mean, that's but it is, at least at that time, it seemed like it was very, very common. People would perform all these austerities and they'd give them merit.
One can take their sinful reactions. Seems possible.
I guess I think what is the merit? I mean, it's the cleansing of the heart, and you know, it's a very personal thing that we get from chanting. And so it's such this little. I'm having a little struggle thinking, well, what does that mean to give merit? So I'm going to give my cleansing process.
I think it's the intention of if you are so pleased with me.
I think what Mother Archana City said really very well articulated my reservation. And I'm quoting this as a thought, not that it's true of you or anyone. But one of the offenses against the Holy Name is to compare it to material piety. And when we chant, we're essentially asking for service. I mean, we're deepening our relationship with the Holy Name, but ultimately so we can serve better. And part of that is being purified. And I do see it more as, praying to Krishna, praying to the Holy Name for someone else. And I also feel that if we're become more purified, we can do more to help others. Maybe, I don't know, there's so many experiences. Maybe I'll save them for, I don't know if I'm going to speak on my journey with Japa for level 2.